Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello and welcome back to Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan. And I have got a really good episode for you today. But in all seriousness, this is a conversation that happened between me and a friend. And it's a very powerful episode. It's also a deeply personal episode. Today, I sit down with Aaron Embry. And he is a lifelong creative, and he's in this midst right now of a pretty brave, I would say, courageous, like soul-led pivot. After years of working as a graphic designer and an art designer, like an art director and a creative consultant, basically he called himself a designer for hire. Aaron's, you know, answering the call, like the deeper call. And now he is pivoting to creating, like becoming a guide to others who are going through a personal transformation. And he's doing that using tools of creativity, self-expression, and really helping them access their inner truth. So it's not necessarily limited to entrepreneurs and from a business perspective. Okay. This could be anybody who's on the edge of a new version of themselves. And so it's so beautiful what he's doing, and what he's gone through in his life has absolutely prepared him to be the very best person to do this. So just so you know, our conversation took place back in May, and it was on the 15th anniversary of Aaron's gender transition. And so this was like a huge milestone for him that I just felt the privilege, like I had the honor of getting to talk to him on that day. And it was that kind of set the stage for us to have a really heart-opening discussion about all the things like identity and self-rejection and ultimately self-acceptance. And Aaron shares about his own journey from just navigating gender and sexuality to, you know, the experiencing his creative barn. I don't know if you guys remember, he had this like awesome space that was a barn out where he lives that was a creative sanctuary for him. And it literally burnt down. And so this person, his life is so incredibly symbolic for the business that he's created now and how he's showing up in the world now. I mean, it's basically shaped his mission to help others kind of salvage and reclaim their authentic voice out of what some people might call a mess. And so we talk about a lot of different things. We talk about just the power of reinvention and pivoting and what it means to start over and sail in the direction of your truth, and how like discomfort can be a pretty good catalyst for transformation. And we talk a lot about creativity. He's so incredibly creative and he's so talented, and he's going to help people use that as a tool for healing and just finding their wholeness. Of course, we talk about human design. I love this topic. I'm fascinated by it. And he's extremely well-versed with it. And like towards the end of our conversation, we come to like talk about his barn. And it wasn't something that we planned on talking about. It just was this sort of surprise and turn that our conversation took. But I now see why it was so relevant, because you know, we address this idea of kind of a phoenix rising from the ashes and what it means to like sort through a mess and take little micro steps towards finding what matters to you and what values to you and reclaiming yourself. And so I really consider this episode a must listen for anyone who's, you know, right at the edge of a new chapter, especially if you're wanting to live a more aligned, expressive, and heart-centered life. So having said all that, you can find Aaron all over social media, and I've put it in the show notes, but his new creative offering, it's guidance in the form of one-on-ones and workshops. He has a wonderful newsletter called Unfolding, and you can find him at aaronembry.com. But enough of all that, find it in the show notes, because I want you to get to this conversation that we had that was so incredibly special. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to my show. Love to you all.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much. I am so grateful to you for this opportunity to chat and share a little bit about myself and my work.
Oh, good. No, I'm glad you feel that way. You know what I think is going to happen? It's like, we're just going to start gabbing, and it's like people get to be voyeurs and listen to our conversation.
It's true. I love that. Those are my favorite kinds of shows to hear.
I like that too. Yeah. So having said that, you know, you're here for a reason, and I want to make sure that people understand like what you're doing and what you're providing, because it's super exciting. And I mean, selfishly, you know, I want it for myself. And you actually have been a huge mentor for me and supporter. So, you know, I think you hung the moon, but can you now you tell us why you hung the moon?
No pressure. Well, the feeling is certainly mutual. I love you, and I love the work that you're creating, and I definitely love this show. It feels like just the medicine that we need. And
I mean,
it is so special, and it really does. I think I mentioned to you before that it feels like a warm cup of tea with a friend. And I just, I love that you're creating this space and this outlet for people to share their messages of love and peace and authenticity and all of these amazing things that I feel really connected to. So I am so excited to draw these connections with what you're creating.
I mean, clearly, you know, when we were talking about this kind of before we pressed record, it's like, I can't believe how aligned we are right now with, I mean, just our lives and our pursuits. You know, of course, we have our separate circumstances, but man, Aaron, like, I mean, the universe brought us together. Would you say it was Broken Bow? Is that when we first met?
That is the first time that I met you. It was in
Britain. Yeah. And so, and it's just like, it keeps our paths just keep intertwining. And it's awesome.
It is. Okay. It's a little bit magical. And this is like such new work for me. It is a big pivot. It is a big pivot from where I've been. And it is something that's been wanting to come through me for a really long time. I felt the creative urge to pivot, to change direction. But I've been scared to, honestly. Like, it's just a scary pivot.
Rightly so.
And it always kind of is, to feel like you are in between and you're having to let go of the work or the labels or this, you know, everything that you've held on to for so long as a way of like sustaining yourself, paying bills, to actually have to let go of some of that, to make space, to literally make space in your work life and just in your bandwidth, your energetic bandwidth, to have the energy to be able to redirect some of that energy somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, believe me. I mean, I know firsthand, personally, just to let go of Ayurveda and like the grip that I had on that, and to turn, and I'm still not quite sure what I'm, you know, pivoting to, which is why I'm glad you're here. But, you know, it's so interesting to hear you use the word pivot, Aaron, because it feels like what you're doing is so right. Like, it feels so right and so true that it doesn't feel like a pivot. It just feels like it's meant to. So the audience, they don't know. They don't know what you mean. Like, what were you doing before? What are you doing now? Like, what is the pivot? And just go,
Well, before, I've spent the bulk of my career as a graphic designer, as an art director, creative director, as someone who's a creative for hire, who people come to me to help them create their new ideas and their brands. And I've loved helping spark other people's visions and their projects and their dreams, and helping them give shape and form to their ideas. And I have really, I still enjoy that work. I love.
Yes. And might I say, you do. Beautiful. I mean, you are talented.
Oh, thank you so much. It has brought me joy throughout my career. I'm not letting go of that because I don't like it anymore.
Right.
It's definitely something that I have always enjoyed. I still enjoy. And I have moved into a role the last 5 years into a role of teacher. So I'm now teaching visual arts at my local community college. And that is still very much, you know, part of what I do, but it helped me kind of embrace that role of teacher as creative leader. Mm-hmm. And I have had these creative urges that have been, and it's my truth that has been desperate to come through me. And now I'm still talking about design. I feel like I'm still using my love for creativity and the creative process to now really moving from the micro level of being a designer for hire, a creative on-demand service provider, to really kind of reframing the concept of creativity as a tool for transformation. Because transformation is something that's also been so prevalent in my life and in my work, because I have become quite an expert in the art of transformation and transition and change, and in lots of different ways, a lot of different ways.
I would say some pretty major ways.
Yes, for sure, some pretty big ways. And definitely professionally is a big part of the way I have changed also. And so I'm one of the tools that has been so pivotal for me, so it's been just key in me being able to express my truth and step into my own path, my own unique path that is my own. And it does feel authentically me. And one thing that hasn't been reflected in that, I think, is my work. And that's why it's been urging like louder and louder from within my soul to come out and not just be helping, you know, a service provider. And now I'm really wanting to still teach and use creativity as a tool for transformation for other people who are in between or who are, you know, in transition themselves. And we all are in transition at various times. And I'm just now reframing my tool of creativity and repackaging it in a way that hopefully will be helpful for other people who are making big and small changes in their life and their work, and really talking about all the things that I've been using before in my design work and in my creative work and my teaching. I'm just kind of reframing it and putting a new spin on it and creating my own courses and my own containers for sharing more of the macro of the process of creativity and creativity as a tool for transformation. So
you've gone from creating a product for other people to use for themselves to now you're pivoting to helping people tease out the transformation that they need to fully express themselves.
That's beautifully put. Yes. So
okay. Is it close?
It is close. I am still, I do think that I am still creating products and that will still be part of it. But I am now, it is about that one-on-one process of teasing out. I love that was beautifully put. Yes.
Of
finding those threads within your unique story and your process of transformation. And I lost my thread of thought just now.
That's okay. It's going to come back to you because one of the things, like when we were communicating, that you wrote to me is that you're helping people, you're helping others embrace the unlovable parts of themselves. And so there's something important about that. It's like if you're going to be expressive in any way, like, you know, as an entrepreneur or just in the other areas of your life, there has to be this level, some level of self-acceptance that happens. Otherwise, it's like it's not whole, right?
That's it.
So tell me, and I'm presuming that you had to do that for yourself first. I mean, you have had to do all of this for yourself first. And
for
so
sure.
Do you mind sharing. Like, what did you consider unlovable about yourself? What did you have to embrace?
Well, a big part of that has been my journey with my labels around gender and sexuality.
Yeah.
That big part of that has been my own self-rejection, my own judgment of myself. And this could be a whole podcast episode in and of itself. And so this part of my story is certainly informing this work in a new way, because I always really did compartmentalize things. And I thought it was because I was being professional. And so I would keep it compartmentalized. And I was like, I'm not rejecting myself. I'm just compartmentalizing my sexuality. I'm just compartmentalizing my relationship with gender. And it's funny now, like, I feel so much more comfortable in my own physical body after having gone through this process of transition. And so I have 34 years that I spent my life being outwardly perceived as a female-bodied person, and that I was really rejecting for all those 34 years. I was railing against my innate inner feminine, my divine feminine, even. I mean, especially in every form, especially physically, how it manifested. I was in deep rejection, deep hatred of my female body, and it was something that I fought inside myself, because I did not want to feel that way, and I didn't want to be that way, and so it created a lot of self-hatred, a lot. And I think I reached a point where it was like the point of no return. I couldn't continue on in that body, in that form. I did not know how to grow old in that body. And so it's like, you know, a lot of times our discomfort in a place is the thing that propels us to make a change. And it's the thing that drives us, is we're so uncomfortable. We're so, it's like a diamond being squeezed. All of those analogies of change happening through that exterior force that forces us to make a change. And so I feel like sometimes that's where I reached that point of, like, I can't continue in this direction. Something's got to change. And so I made that difficult decision. And that was, you know, me choosing myself, me choosing to listen to my own inner guidance. And
when the world around you, is probably not like, rah, rah, go do this, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I mean, you know, can I just say, like, so many of us can't even choose ourselves, like, in terms of what we're going to have for dinner. I mean, it's something, do you know what I mean? Like, something so inconsequential as that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so for you to choose yourself on that level, I just can't, like, get over how monumental that is and how much courage that took and bravery. And so that alone, I feel like we need to nominate you for some sort of award out there. I don't know, it exists, but nod to you, my friend, for, like, I mean, and after 34 years, that's quite a long time.
It was
quite a long time just to suffer.
It was.
And I mean, I understand. I put myself through discomfort, like, pretty bad. You know, like, I think, you know, I was an alcoholic. And so I let that get really uncomfortable, you know.
Before you made a change.
But it took that. It took that for me to, like, before I was willing to.
And I think that's part of what brought me to this work, too, is I realized, like, I couldn't not have gone through that. And all the parts of myself that I rejected. I have been able to reclaim, and I have a whole new relationship with my femininity now, and it's not something that I am rejecting anymore. I found peace around all those things that I hated about myself before, but I don't think I couldn't have arrived here from that path. I had to make, like, the biggest change that I had ever met, and arguably the biggest change I've made ever. I mean, I've made a lot of big changes in my life and career over the years, but I don't think I would have had a life to explore for long if I had never made that change. And then it gave me such perspective, and it is such a gift that I've been given to now have this broadened perspective of so many things.
Yeah, you have said that it's opened your heart in ways that you could never imagine. Does anything come immediately to mind? Like in what way did it open your heart in a way that it was not? Is it mostly to yourself, or is it to other people, or is it both?
It's definitely to myself.
Yeah.
Primarily. Yeah. Because I think, you know, a lot of that discomfort before I began this process of physically and socially transitioning to become Erin outwardly, yeah, so that people could see me. And I think that was a big part of what was frustrating is, yes, that other people could not accurately see the truth, yeah, of me. But yeah, it was the most painful thing was that I could not see myself. Like it was such a frustrating, yeah, thing to have an inner picture of yourself that was not accessible. And so it opened my heart to myself because I have such compassion for that version of myself who was in so much pain then, and the bravery that it took for me at that time, especially, it seemed inconceivable. I did not know how it was going to ever be possible to make, mm-hmm, that change. But I knew that if I didn't, that it was impossible. Also, like they both felt impossible. And I,
what odds are the least impossible?
Exactly. And then it became the path of least resistance. And so in order to trust myself, I do think that my heart had to open to myself and to trust the process, to trust my inner guidance, that I wasn't crazy, that I wasn't, you know, broken, and that was my path, that this is who I am. And it's not a mistake, and it is not, I'm not broken because of it. I'm not like, and because of, and this also is where my spiritual awakening sort of happened, was at the very beginning of my physical transition, because I think it ignited a new understanding of God, of the universe, of source. And so it gave me a new perspective. And so that was another opening. So it was just like another opening after another opening after another opening. And the people in my life, and to see the people who loved me in that previous form still finding the same thing within me to love as I outwardly changed and embraced new parts of myself and became more visible, more whole in my own sense of self. And so it helped me connect more with my family. It transformed my relationship with my family, and it transformed my understanding also of women and of men. I feel in general of the concept of people who do identify as being more binary. And I have never really identified as, even when I was in a female body, I was never identified as being a feminine person. I was a tomboy growing up. And then that I just kind of grew into like a butch identified, you know, masculine female bodied person. And then I wore these labels as long as I could. And then there was nowhere else for me to grow that felt like the next version of myself.
Yeah.
And so I've had to let go of those old labels, and then in order to make room and embrace new ones and make the space for the new version of myself. And I think that's something also, and as far as opening myself to love and...
I mean, it doesn't cease to amaze me how like we become more open to love by loving ourselves.
Yes.
And so I can, you know, for the friends of mine that I have that are on dating apps or whatever, or go on tons of dates and stuff, the ones that find love are the ones that like do that inner work. It's nothing to do with how many dates they go on or, you know, people that they meet or whatever. And I think that's so beautiful that people probably loved you more. I mean, they didn't love you more, right? It was the same, but you could let in more.
For sure. Yeah.
And that was what, and like, we're going to love the person, the most authentic version of you, which is who you are. I mean, it's who you became. You had to go through this journey to become that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And before it was always like this concept, and it felt like something I could sense was there, but I could never touch it. I could never really connect with it, because it was a truth that felt blocked somehow. And now I feel like, and this is definitely still my path, I'm still finding new parts of myself to reclaim and to love, because, you know, and especially when the outside world gets really loud about the parts that you have before found unlovable in yourself, it's really easy to go back to that place of feeling like, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not lovable. Maybe there's something here. And so that's how I know that I'm still on the path. I mean, I still have those feelings come up, but I have different tools now that I did not always have. And that, I think, makes a difference for me. And I think that's also where it's kind of dovetailing with my.
Yeah. Like, those are the tools that now you're using to share with other people.
Absolutely, for sure. And I think that creativity has always been something else I sort of compartmentalized as something I did for work, something to pay the bills, but then also something I enjoyed as therapy, as art therapy, and as a way to just express myself. When I couldn't find words for things, I could always paint about it or dance about it, or, you know, I could express myself in other ways. And so using creativity as a tool for transformation and healing is something that I couldn't find the language for to talk about, you know, when I was going through early days of this big, intense transformation. And now since it's empowered me to make other changes, like quit my day job and, you know, venture out on my own. And now, you know, not just quit my day job again, but change my day job.
Well, something that you said, and I really like this. I wish that our timing was different with this one, that you said that creativity is a love language.
It is.
So you know the five love languages? I just did this, like, I actually did this, like, a solo cast about how I think authenticity should be the sixth love language. But, okay, do we need to have seven, or is creativity and authenticity, are they somehow, they're aligned, right?
Of course.
Because I think, to me, one of the things that it sounds like that you're doing is you're using creativity to help people transform, but at the same time, for them to access their creativity, it requires a level of authenticity. And that's hard.
That's
really hard. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Am I dancing in the right?
Yes.
The right dance floor?
Because I do feel like it has to do with your truth. That is your authenticity. And I think that creativity is this vehicle that we can use to express that and to tap into that inner truth that sometimes we don't have language for, or that we are still rejecting or resisting, or those parts that are hard to completely own and be sort of unapologetic about, because, you know, other people may not like our truth.
I'm finding that out.
And you know, that was true for me too, that sometimes there were definitely people who were not happy that I chose the path that I did. And it wasn't like I chose it, that this path chose me, that this has been my path. There are people who have found peace within it and see my own expansion and see how I have been able to now love myself in ways that were not possible before, and love me and support me. And then there are people in my life who absolutely do not feel that way. And they do not appreciate my truth and my authenticity and my expression of that. And so I think part of the process, and part of where I think creativity can help with that, is finding the creative confidence to not only tap into, find what's true for ourselves, and then find a way to voice that truth and to be visible in that truth. So it is like, it's not just finding it, but it's also like speaking it and living it and then being seen in it.
Yeah, it really is a process. I mean, it's a series of steps, and that resiliency to, you know, stay the course, even when you don't have support, is really challenging. This episode is brought to you by my online membership for women, Emerge. Think of Emerge as a launchpad for becoming the most unapologetically authentic version of yourself. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, which is all about transformation, this space is for women who are done playing small and are ready to live with radical honesty and deep self-honor. It's not always easy to shed old skin, which is why you don't have to do it alone. Each month, we meet as a support system for one another and for an enlightening masterclass where I blend the magic of Ayurveda, feng shui, and astrology to help you align your energy, your environment, and your whole vibe with what the universe is up to in real time. So if you're craving alignment, empowerment, and real connection across all aspects of your life, Emerge is for you. This is the year of sacred shedding, and it's all preparing you for new levels of abundance, clarity, and freedom. You can join Emerge anytime. Link to register in the show notes. When you would find yourself in, you know, in the midst of a change and staying aligned with the path that you're on, How did you manage that? I mean, how did you stay the course? Do you have a tip or a trick? Or
you know, for me, it was always about being true to my own inner compass. And so I feel like because my own sort of spiritual awakening, and I don't know that I like that label for it, but it was an awakening and a shifting of my own sense of myself spiritually. As a spiritual being beyond the labels, beyond the body, I had this new realization that even as I outwardly changed, like the essence of me was the same, essentially. And the package was shifting and becoming visible in a different way. But what I knew when I started this process that I was following my own inner guidance. It was not because someone else was telling me that this is what I needed to, because there's no way. If this had been something that was thrust upon me from someone else's opinion over what path I should take, I don't know that I could have withstood that pressure from the outside of the dissenters and the people who were, you know, really
dissenters.
The people who don't understand or who have a very different perspective on me.
Yeah, on and how path. Things are supposed to be.
Right. Or, you know, basing their opinions on their own understanding of spirituality a lot of times, or religion. And that's where it came from most of the time, is because people had religious beliefs that were opposed to the changes that I were making at that time. And I'm speaking mostly about my transition, because it was such a big example of all of these other small changes that I've made in my life and work. I use my transition, and this is new too, because I'm not used to talking about it. I am used to keeping it sort of separate.
In the compartment.
In the compartment where it felt safe. And so this part is new for me. This is me stepping into my own visibility in a new way, because when I first started my transition, it was a very vulnerable place to be. It was very visible. I had to come out at my corporate job. I had to come out to my family, to my friends, to people who knew me since I was kid, you know. It was a very visible process. And then today is actually my 15th anniversary. Today literally is the day that I like officially count as like the day that I started my
like it's the actual anniversary of
of May 20th is like the date I use as my anniversary.
I did not know that. Okay.
It is.
Oh, this is really quite something.
It is
it's like three fives, 15.
Yes, okay. 15. Okay. And so it is sort of a pivotal anniversary of sorts, because it does feel like I feel that vulnerability again that I felt those 15 years ago, where I was having to be so visible in this way and share such intimate details.
On some level, it's like it's none of your business, you know?
It's not. But I'm also now seeing like me stepping into that truth, my own creative liberation. Is maybe it's more than just my personal story, right? Maybe it's about creative liberation at a macro level. And so that is what's giving me now the courage to kind of step back into that very vulnerable place when all I really want to do is hide. Like, I have never wanted to hide more lately. Yeah. It's been...
I know. Like, the climate, you know, it's like scary. Not ideal. Yeah.
It feels oppressively scary sometimes. And but then I'm like, there's no more important time for me to sort of step into this new chapter and like claim my creative liberation.
Well, you know, I was thinking like, you and I never talk about this.
No, we've actually never talked about this. I don't think we have.
And it's like I knew, you know, but it's like we've never actually. And so I want to say thank you, because that's a big deal.
Well, thank
don't make
you.
Me cry. Like, that's not lost on me. So I'm really, and to like, moreover, I'm so grateful to, I feel like I'm even deeper, like in deeper relationship with you now than I was before. And before, like, I felt like close. Like, we always kind of pick up where we left off. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have that kind of, it feels like that kind of friendship where it's like, it doesn't go backwards.
Right.
And I love that. But like now it's like, okay, now we're really getting real, you know?
For sure. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to come out during this opportunity, but I mean, I'm so grateful to you for this safe space to feel like I can express my total truth and not feel like I have to hold back or censor myself or like maybe not share this part, but really truly embody the process of reclaiming these rejected parts of myself and my story, and especially in relationship to my work. It felt like something I had to keep separate, and because most of the time it's just not relevant, you know, to the graphic design process or to the brand building process. But has it always been informing me? Of course, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm just like bringing that to the surface and not being afraid to let it be seen. And so that's just a new unfolding.
I think it's interesting too that it does just so happen to be the year of the snake, where we are like becoming more visible. And, you know, I'm such a novice with this, or I mean, I'm green, if you will. And I'm not dialed in the way some of my more metaphysical friends are, but like, it really does feel like we're at this time of reckoning, you know, or like it's like an inflection in an inflection point in humanity, where we really are changing from any hiding that any of us were doing in any area of our life. There's no more support for that. There's no more room for that. Like, the universe is making it as such that we don't get to do that anymore. Like, so sorry. So whatever your truth is, whether you wanted it to, you know, air it out like dirty laundry, or just, you know, put it on the clothesline, like, it's coming out. And so for those of us who have had to face a bigger truth, if you will, like, for you to do this and be the way shower that you are, which actually does fit with your human design, doesn't it? You know,
it does.
But like, it's the tremendous courage, major bravery, and like, you're going to unshackle so many people by doing this. So many. Well, and then it's true. And then to align it with your business, where you're just supporting people to like, damn, hot damn. Like, this is good. Okay. So like, keep going.
I appreciate the validation, because it is so easy sometimes to question it and think, maybe this isn't the path. Is there an easier path?
No,
and not to say that, because I think that's one reason why I know in my heart that it is right. And I know that my design is a big part of it. I don't think I could do this work as anything other than the ego manifester that I am. And that is something else that I met Human Design right around the same time initially.
Really?
Yes. So I basically started my transition process in 2010. And then by 2012, I was deep in this new awakening spiritually. And at the same time, I met Human Design. And then I started experimenting. And I loved that it was an experiment, that it was something that I could test out the mechanics for myself, see if it worked, see if it made sense logically, because I was still sort of like in my head about it. And I've just been experimenting with it ever since. And so it really connected then. And it has been one of those tools that it just made sense for me. And it felt like it was true. It was something that I could feel in my body, and I could see it working in. I could see my aura impacting people. I could see how the room changes when I don't inform people. And I could see the difference it made it when I did. And so it became one of those tools. And now it's just sort of like one of those tools that I have in my tool belt, so to speak, that I love sharing with people and sort of initiating people into it as a possibility for others as well.
And so, okay, so we're going to need to go back and talk about human design, because there's going to be people that don't know what it is, you know, but would you say that of all the tools that you have, that this is like the big dog?
It's right up there with my creative process, because I think that I use my creative practice as my spiritual practice. And so now they feel sort of like united
they're merged.
They are. They really are. And so as far as the tools that impact my life daily are that merging of my spiritual creative, you know, path, I guess.
Yeah.
And human design as something that just helps create the framework for my work. And it helps me make sense of what I'm
like
trying to share.
The structure. Yeah.
It gives it some structure. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of my missions, I would say is probably one of my main missions, but it does keep sort of revealing itself or like getting nuanced for me, like in how I talk about it, that it really is world peace. Mm-hmm. I really want this for the world on the planetary scale, right?
Yes.
But what we get from that is we get to move from this state of survival to a state of creation. And so we get to be in our creativity if we do that. Because the only reason why we don't have world peace is because we all think we're trying to survive. I mean, we're trying to perpetuate some ego identity, right? And like and some of us like actually survive, right? Whether if we're in a war-torn zone or something like that. But like when we leave that state of mind, then we now get the beautiful benefit of being in creation and being in creativity. And I love it so much that like, I'm doing it my way. I'm trying to do it by running my mouth on a podcast, you know, and you're doing it in this really beautiful way too. And that it's like our ships are both sailing in the same direction.
Yes.
And I'm just beside myself. I'm still, okay. So human design, some people don't know what that is. And can you give like a one sentencer on that? I know that's like really hard to do. But then also just tell us like what your design is and then what that means and how it's working for you. Do you mind, if you don't mind?
Sure. I think I will just speak to it from, you know, my unique perspective of it, for sure.
And I
see it as sort of like this amalgamation of a lot of different ancient tools of astrology and the I Ching and the chakra system. And it's merging. It was a channeled system that was brought through a human person who basically had this download and brought through all of this higher dimensional perspective of human beings. And I think one of the things that attracted me to it initially is because it had the word design. I was like, well, I'm a designer. What is this human design? And of course, from like a spiritual perspective, me being, you know, this little baby awakening into this new perspective of what spirituality is outside of my old confines of, you know, a conservative Christian, you know, the limits that felt like
imposed,
growing up.
Yeah.
And then like had my mind and my perspective open to what spirituality could be and what it may be for myself if I, you know, open my mind and my heart and change my perspective. And so I think initially I was attracted to it because it was so different. And I'm like, what in the world? Is it like my astrology? And it kind of was. And so I started exploring it like I explore a lot of things out of pure curiosity. I followed my curiosity into human design. And so you there are so many websites where you can go and get your free body chart. And so I went and got my, I downloaded my chart and discovered that I was a 5-1 ego manifester. And I didn't, I had no idea what that meant. And it's so overwhelming when you first find human design. It's, there's
it
so
really
much,
is.
It goes in every layer that you uncover, there's another layer beneath that. And it just seems like there's so much information to try to mentally comprehend. And I think when I first sort of met human design, I hated my design. I rejected it. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be a manifester. I didn't want to, because I'm like, what do you mean I have a closed and repelling aura?
Like, I know. We share this. I'm a manifester too, and I'm a repellent. And like, I actually do feel that when that's happening, and I'm like, no, I don't want this. And I resist it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So definitely that was something that when I discovered my design, I didn't really like, I wasn't happy about it necessarily at first, but I could certainly see the mechanics of it working. And that's why it is framed as an experiment. Like, try these strategies and authorities, just test it out and see for yourself, feel for yourself the truth in it. And I remember finding, you know, I did, of course, as a 5-1, this is a profile. This is one of those little facets of human design. It basically means I'm, you know, the five is sort of labeled as a heretic for good or bad. And then the one is labeled as an investigator. And I definitely see the investigator in my work. I'm a deep researcher. I love to dive into the research of things. So, of course, I did the same thing.
Rabbit hole.
Yes, I can.
You're a rabbit hole kind of a guy.
I am. And I can definitely do my research for sure. Yeah. And I did the same thing with human design. And so someone early on I read, they said that you don't even necessarily have to do the research when you find your human design chart. You can just sit with your physical printout or on screen of your chart. And over time,
it's going to start to make sense.
It starts resonating somehow energetically.
Okay.
And so I spent, you know, many years at the beginning, like I think in the very, very beginning, I dove down a deep rabbit hole. And then I spent maybe a year of just like sort of ignoring it and pretending like it didn't exist, but it never went away. It always came back. Like I would re-meet it. And then 2 years later, re-meet it. And then I would say probably, you know, the first 5 years I was kind of like, and it would keep coming back. And then the last 7 to 10 years, probably I've stopped resisting it and realizing that this is definitely something that is meant for me. It is something that resonated with me and is maybe a tool that I can use to speak about some of these things and to kind of wrap around my own work. And so,
You know, somebody that I was talking to recently, and I think she's a human design coach, so she's teaching people about themselves, but she said it, and I wish I had recorded it, that human design is going to be the ticket to authenticity. Mm. She says that are like the channel to that. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, like, once I understood one little component of being a manifester, which is that we get tired out pretty quickly. You know, and we do better being project oriented. Like, we're not generators that just have this constant stream of energy. And so, like, I do run a pattern of like exertion, and then I hit a wall, and then I retreat, you know, and then exertion, retreat. And like, but I would chastise myself for not having a boundless amount of energy. And I tried so hard only to just make my need for retreat even worse or bigger. And like, when I could accept the fact that that's how I operate.
Right.
You know, and like, and I'm a great launcher. I'm a great catalyst, but I am not your sustainer. Don't ask me to be that one. I'm going to fail you, and it's going to ruin our relationship. And so
I am so hearing myself in all of these words, because I fought for so many years. And a lot of that is, you know, that conditioning of, because we are in a generator world. And so we feel like we should fit. And I could not understand when I had my corporate job, why it was like, I was getting so burned out. Like, how do these people show up to work every day? Work 9 to 6, 7. How do you do it every day you go?
I admire them.
And you're supposed to do this forever, like show up and work at this corporate job. And I was getting so burned out, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't hang. Like, I was And yes, I would chastise myself, like, what is wrong with me? I am so, like, I'm a terrible employee. I can't. Yep. And then whenever I started my own business, I thought I was supposed to still maintain that same pace of, like, just nonstop work. And it is so, and I do believe that it is key for so many people to connect with their strategy, their authority, their design, their unique design to help unlock this understanding.
Yes.
Because you're not broken if you are a non-energy type, or like if you're a manifestor, yes, a projector, a reflector, thinking you're supposed to spend your life working like a generator, it is such liberation to feel like, okay, my pace is just different. And it doesn't mean that your impact is less. You have more impact working in a way that aligns with your energy type. And it makes it so much easier when you know the way you're supposed to work and that you can honor that within your own process. It's been invaluable for me to stop rejecting that.
Yes. I'm glad to hear you say that, to honor that, because that I feel like is a big part of your message within your pivot, which is permission.
Sure.
It's permission. And so, yeah, I mean, I've noticed that when I let myself align with my human design and I'm a 3-5, mm-hmm, I'm called the great life experimenter, which seems pretty true. And that my impact is almost like a cosmic boom compared to when, you know, I'm trying to doing it the conventional way, you know,
right.
Like, yeah,
a big launch, a big impact, something like a podcast that's a podcast inspiring world peace. I mean,
I really do feel like that is my truth. Like, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And do you know how much resistance I meet, mm-hmm, to that, and like ridicule, mm-hmm, and I get accused of being naive. No one's called me stupid to my face, but they might be thinking about my back. Pollyanna, for sure. You know, and like just not very worldly and childish. I mean, just things kind of like this, mm-hmm, that I'm like, no, I know it's possible. Like, I know that it is. So anyway, like me sticking to this truth, but probably even more importantly is like finding a way to express it is where I feel like you come into play for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, because I am a little bit in the starting in the darkness, you know, I'm like, it was a neat way, the way you described it. It's like, if you feel like you're starting in the darkness, that's totally okay. Yeah. Because a lot of us think, oh, I'm in the dark, so it means I shouldn't start. Right. But you're actually saying, oh, no, go ahead. Like, actually, that you're in the perfect place. Like, you're in the starting point.
Take a step. Take a baby step.
So, like, tell me more about, like, the process and, like, kind of a formula of sorts that you've identified that, like, helps people access this.
Yes. I love the in-between. And I think that is something that I have reclaimed within myself, is I think I spent a lot of time judging myself for being in between a lot of things. And that it was a bad place to be. And nobody likes that, or the uncertainty of the dark.
Right.
Because it can feel scary. And because sometimes we don't know the next step. And it feels impossible to take a step when you're like, not quite sure. And I think that that's where it becomes this process of uncovering within yourself that truth and finding it literally in your body. And I it does require, becoming a little bit comfortable in that discomfort and finding, being okay with it. And I think that that's where we have to accept that a lot of times we have to start in between, or we have to start before the clarity comes, because we can't get to clarity without action. I think action is what brings the clarity, right?
Like, yeah, even if it's wrong action.
Even if it's wrong action, you're going to learn something about what not to do.
and
that's where I've learned that from the creative process, because when I'm starting a new logo design project or a new, any sort of design, starting from scratch, creating something from nothing, you have to start with a mark. And sometimes that mark is not the right mark. It's not the right direction, but it does inform you. It does help you shift in another direction. And as long as you take another step and don't just curl up and give up, then you're making progress. And even when it doesn't feel like progress, you are making progress. And that's where I can reflect back on to my transition experience, because there were years where it felt like nothing was happening, but I was still just having to take little tiny baby steps, micro movements, and trust that even if it wasn't quite the right step, that it was going to inform the next right step. So I do think that that process is about uncovering that truth within yourself. So you do have some sort of inner compass, and maybe it's informed by human design. For me, it was. That is something that I have used to help inform and trust my own inner guidance, and to find that inner truth and to uncover it and then be able to navigate from that place. And then you're not necessarily, it doesn't feel like you're necessarily in the dark, because you have this sort of inner compass that is helping you take a next step. And then if you have permission for it to be messy and imperfect and not be the finished piece, because how often do we create something new and it's right the first time? I know I have built enough websites. I've designed logos, and zero times have I ever nailed it the first time. even when I'm creating something for myself and I have a pretty good idea of what I want it to be, very rarely am I just like knocking it out of the park the first attempt at creating a form, creating a shape to that idea, because we're basically, bringing form to the formless and giving shape to something that doesn't exist yet, like world peace. But you have to start somewhere, and any step is going to be a step in that direction. And, that's how we will get there. I mean, it's by one baby step at a time, one micro movement, and then those micro movements compound, and then the clarity starts coming, and you are also building creative confidence as you're taking these steps. You're like, okay, the first few steps in the dark are the scariest, but then you're like, okay, not as scary. And then you do get more clarity and confidence with each and every step that you take in the direction that you're going. As long as you know the direction that you're going.
Yeah. I love creative confidence.
Yes.
I love that.
I do too. It's something that I am continually practicing.
Yeah.
Because I'm having to find creative confidence in new directions, like YouTube videos is something that I'm prioritizing now, really. And it's something I've always sort of done, but I've never really prioritized it because it hasn't felt comfortable. It hasn't felt like something that I knew completely how to do. But I'm giving myself permission for it to be messy.
Messy.
Yeah. And take some steps anyway. And yes. So
I think, when I discover somebody, it's usually because that person's been around for a while. And now that, whatever content they're delivering, it's pretty polished. But I have to say, I'm kind of a rabbit hole person too. And so when I do a deep dive and find their earlier stuff that is messier, I actually love it more.
Yeah.
Because it's like you see the raw materials in process. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like, I love that. I prefer that. I don't necessarily need the shiny finish.
Same. I feel very much the same thing, because I do feel like that is where like the marrow is. Like that's the good stuff.
Yes, it is the good stuff.
And I honestly feel like that is part of what I'm doing also, is helping people appreciate the messiness that they hold it. And that is the most authentic parts of ourselves, is that the messiest parts. And so I think a lot of my own visual voice is kind of the language that I've wrapped around. It goes sort of beyond the aesthetic of what I'm creating, but it's also sort of like the raw materials, the source material, of not being afraid to bring more of that rawness into, and not polishing it as much as I see around, because I don't want, and I think that's something, when I first left my corporate job, I was so used to the designs that I were creating had to be so perfect and polished and and I got lost in the perfectionism of it. And I think when I first started my own business, I was really just I wanted to be the complete polar opposite of that. I wanted to be let me go to the other extreme and just let everything I post be kind of messy and really imperfect. And then my barn burned and my studio space.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And
yes,
that was a perfect opportunity also to like remind me of like the magic in the mess. And so it was another like little moment of like, okay, I can hide this part. Like it was kind of embarrassing. It was kind of heart-wrenching. It was something I wanted to ignore. I didn't want that to be part of my story. I didn't want. Right. And then after a while, I started finding like these little glimpses of beauty in this destruction. And I'm like, oh, it's actually very poetic. It's very relevant to.
Yeah.
And also, like, I literally burned down like this, the old. So many old labels, so many old things that I had to let go of, literally got, you know, destroyed, and I had to let go. And so I was reclaiming like little pieces that I was finding like those moments of beauty in. And then I found that was another moment of reclamation for me, like of creative reclamation of not, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. This is funny that this came up because I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect it to either. It's like I almost forgot about that, but that was like an enormous
event
that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, at the time as an outsider, I just saw it as like, there is something that this person has to let go.
Yes.
And, you know, no one wants to hear that.
No, I did not want to. I thought I was like, and it came at a point where I thought, like, I had things figured out. I thought,
right. Yeah, I know.
I was like, okay, I understand what I'm supposed to be doing now. And I thought I had reached where I am now then. And I was still trying to hold on to being a create on demand, you know,
service provider.
And there were so many other things that I had to let go of as part of that event that space held, you know, and how I have sort of risen from the ashes, so to speak.
You really have. I mean, people want a phoenix rising for themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you really did get it.
Well, I wouldn't have if I hadn't just kept taking those micro steps through the mess.
So now that you've pivoted and you're kind of changing how you interface with the world professionally, tell me what that looks like and how you'll be working with people, you know, and how we like, you know, sign up with you.
Right. I am creating some different containers because I am sort of, you know, on my own creative adventure right now of redefining what that looks like. And I feel like it will be an intimate container of one-on-one work mostly. I will probably have some small group offerings as well and kind of just see how that goes. But I feel like I'm going to be working one-on-one with people who are in the midst of their own transitions and their own creative pivots, or, you know, people who are ready to express themselves in a more free and full, whole, holistic way, and really ready to step into their own new chapter of visibility and find their true, authentic voice, really, and what that means for them now, and how they can shape it into something new for the world, something, you know, something new and improved is what I like to.
Yeah. And so somebody wouldn't necessarily have to be, you know, in business for themselves. Like this is not limited to you helping entrepreneurs launch or express.
No, I do feel like historically I have connected mostly with entrepreneurs and other small business owners. I think historically, that is who I have worked with mostly in the past. I do value people who are actively creating things, actively building things. But I don't think this work is limited to just people who identify as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're all making different kinds of changes. And I think these tools work no matter what kind of change that you're making. But I do feel like they're especially potent for entrepreneurs who are looking for language and who are looking for creative courage and tools to
permission.
Support. Permission, yes, to step more fully into their voice and to reclaim their own self in every way, all those parts that maybe that they have resisted or rejected and reclaiming them as like little burnt remnants that still hold value, that still hold truth and are not meant to be like cast aside, but to actually bring it into the work and fold it into their work. And that's where the good stuff, I mean, that will just infuse their work with more of who they are. And I think that is what we're all of us who are actively creating businesses, I think, are wanting to infuse more of who we are into what we do. And that is a large part of who I am serving, I think, with this work. But I don't think it is limited to that, because the tools will work even if you are just making a personal change in your life. I think that the tools will still work. I think the process is still the same. And I hope to amplify people's creative energies and create this supportive container, because obviously as a manifestor, I'm really good at helping people like catalyze starts. Also, I feel like that's something that also is in alignment with our work. We're as manifestors, I think we recognize the fact that we're really good at helping people start things. And so,
People launch.
Yes. And so I think instead of launching new brands, I'm just helping people launch new directions and change their direction. And, you know, even if that means they don't, and I don't think they have to have perfect clarity over what they're launching or what the new direction is they're shifting. Maybe they just know it's time for something new.
And I think, you know, what you're doing is you're going to help people launch in the direction of themselves.
Yes.
Of their authentic selves. And, you know, this is at risk of sounding kind of silly, but this is something my friends and I, we call it like a working theory. And we try to come up with like a way to create an understandable explanation of what. And so we've come up with this. Like the whole collective, you know, the collective, how it operates best is if each of us is expressive, if we're expressing our authentic truths. Mm-hmm. And so we've compared it to like a human body. Mm-hmm. And so like if my heart tried to play the role of the kidneys, it wouldn't do it so well, even though the heart's awesome, you know, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so like the heart needs to be the heart and the kidneys need to be the kidneys, you know, and the fingernail needs to be the fingernail. Right. And all of it is awesome. And if all of us do our parts as we were designed to be, you know, then the body's going to function, I mean, it's going to thrive in this optimal way and get to do whatever it wants. Like it gets to be in a state of creativity.
Yes.
But, you know, if the pinky fingernail is like, well, I don't like this. And I thought I was supposed to be the thumb, you know, or whatever, then it doesn't, it's just not going to work.
That's
so. And so, yeah. Okay. So is our analogy working? Because we're still developing theory. Okay. We're
trying to
working with this. That's what I want. Yes. That's what I mean, that's what I want personally. That's what I want for my kids, for everyone I know. And when we start doing that, I dare say my humble initiative towards world peace is perceivable. Like it's actually possible.
I can see it because of the joy that I get from the feeling that I am doing what I am meant to do with my time and my energy and my life and the way I'm, you know, and the pace of it, the rhythm of it, the, you know, when it's all aligned, of course it brings joy and peace. And I think so many people are discontent with the way they're working, with the way they're trying to function in a way that's so out of alignment. Of course, if we can shift out of that and into something more creative, then I see it's inevitable. So I'm with you. I will join your vision of world peace through creativity.
Thank you for using the word inevitable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not a pipe dream. It's smart. Coming. It's coming. It's and happening.
Yes, you're leading the
way. And you're doing your part. And I'm doing my part. We're doing our parts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's not. We can break our arms patting ourselves.
But at least I feel like I'm not like a fish out of water anymore in terms of the way I'm trying to work. Like I do feel like I was a fish trying to climb a tree, which is like the same analogy, but different, you know.
Yeah, the heart doing the kidney job.
Exactly. And for a long time, of course, I was just really, and then I was like kicking myself because I was not a bird. I was a fish. And so like, I was berating myself, and my inner critic was just having a field day over like all the ways that I was not who I was supposed to be. So.
Yeah. Well, and you know, as hard as that, I'm sure that was a huge pain in the butt to like, have to deal with that. But the level of compassion and understanding that you'll have for people, because they're going to be in that space too,
right?
As they, you know, kind of salvage the burnt parts and then, you know, reclaim and embrace, as you say.
That's it.
So, oh, Aaron, this has been so great to talk to you. I really appreciate your time and everything you're doing. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm so grateful to you, and thank you for this safe space, this creative container to, you know, step into my own visibility and use my own unique voice and share these things and actually use like my literal voice.
Yeah.
Which is so powerful and important, I think, especially for manifestors, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, you know, that, I mean, yes, it's awesome, but, you know, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing, it's important, and in the way that you're doing it. And so your willingness to be visible and heard, seen and heard.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not just awesome anymore. It's like, it's important. Yeah. Like it's required.
Yeah.
So
it
thank
feels
you.
That way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you're so welcome.
And,
Well, I can't wait to like see what, you know, how all this keeps unfolding for you.
Thank you so much. And Folding is the name of my newsletter.
Shut up. Okay. That was not planned. That's brand new.
Yeah. So I'm also doing a lot of writing there and sharing, you know, raw reflections, as I'm calling them. I'm leaning into my cringe, I'm calling it, like the kids call it. I'm kind of leaning into all the things that I would judge before as being too cringe or too vulnerable or too intimate to share. And I'm kind of trying to lean into those uncomfortable places a little bit more so, and, you know, to share my own process and hopefully, you know, excavate some value in there as well. So, and just practicing the voice, lots of different platforms. I love that you use the word unfolding, which I feel like is sort of this recurring theme that I'm seeing.
I need to make sure I'm subscribed to your newsletter. I would really love to read that.
I'd love to have you.
All right, my friends. Thank you again. And we will do this again.
No doubt. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all. I want to extend a heartfelt invitation to join me this September in the south of France for something truly special. I'm attending the Sacred France Retreat, a transformative journey into the heart of the Cathar region, a land steeped in the mysteries of Mary Magdalene and the Divine Feminine. This is not just any retreat. It's a chance to remember love as your true path, to open your heart, and to reconnect with the deeper truth of who you are, held by the sacred land and soulful community and powerful intention of this retreat. I am going because I know this space will support the kind of deep alignment I'm always talking about, and if something in you is stirring as you hear this, I hope that you'll come too. Details are in the show notes. I'd be so honored to share this journey with you.